The technological dimension of current conflicts reveals fascinating developments that extend far beyond traditional battlefields. Russia-linked hackers have successfully weaponized ChatGPT and Gemini to attack Ukrainian targets, demonstrating how AI systems become tools of warfare even when designed for civilian applications.
This represents a new category of supply chain vulnerability, doesn't it? When hackers can manipulate AI platforms that millions trust for daily tasks, they're essentially turning civilian infrastructure into weapons delivery systems. CISA's warnings about cascading attacks on GitHub and NPM ecosystems show this isn't isolated to AI chatbots. Entire development infrastructures are becoming compromised.
Exactly. The ChatGPT vulnerability researchers disclosed weaponizes ChatGPT's web summarization feature to render phishing content inside the trusted interface. Users think they're getting legitimate summaries, but attackers are delivering malicious links through the AI's own responses. It's brilliant and terrifying. They're using the system's credibility against its users.
Meanwhile, we have this remarkable story about Trump-linked startups testing humanoid robots in Ukrainian war zones. The convergence of private American technology, political connections, and active combat zones raises questions about oversight and accountability. Who's responsible when civilian tech companies provide military capabilities during international conflicts?
The robotics angle connects to broader automation trends we're seeing. That AI startup offering free New York apartment cleaning in exchange for filming everything to train household robots shows how data collection drives innovation. But when the same technologies move from cleaning apartments to combat zones, the ethical frameworks become much more complex.
Defense Secretary Hegseth's commitment to boost weapons output for Ukraine suggests the administration recognizes this technological arms race. However, there's tension between supporting allies and managing domestic priorities. The Pentagon simultaneously recruiting troops to attend White House UFC events while expanding combat production capacity seems like mixed messaging about military priorities.
The House defense bill proposing to fuse U.S. and Israeli militaries through joint AI and cyber development represents institutionalizing these technological collaborations. Section 224 of the 2027 NDAA would expand weapons co-production and data sharing across emerging technologies. This creates formal frameworks for the informal relationships we're already seeing in current conflicts.
What strikes me is how quickly civilian technologies become military assets. Developers refusing to abandon AI tools despite productivity concerns in corporate settings, while those same AI systems get weaponized in cyber attacks. The line between commercial and military technology has essentially disappeared.
And that brings us to the broader question of technological sovereignty. Huawei's chairman thanking the United States for export controls that supercharged China's semiconductor development shows how restrictions can backfire. When you force technological self-reliance, you sometimes accelerate indigenous innovation rather than limiting it.
The U.S. plans to speed up troop withdrawal from Europe while simultaneously boosting weapons production for Ukrainian forces suggests a shift toward technological rather than physical military presence. We're providing capabilities rather than personnel, which changes both costs and political dynamics around international commitments.
This technological transformation of warfare also explains why corporate AI spending now exceeds dot-com bubble peaks as a percentage of GDP. Military applications drive much of this investment, but the technologies developed for combat find civilian applications quickly. The boundary between defense and commercial R&D has become increasingly artificial.